Brothers and sisters in Christ, first of all, as I did at the 8 o'clock service, let me express my heartfelt thanks once again to your rector, Matthew, for his generous invitation to be with you this morning, and to all of you for your kindness and generosity as well. Lutherans and Anglicans, of course, share a common heritage which we have continued to enrich and express through the centuries. We have borrowed from each other's liturgical books and prayers, sometimes officially and sometimes unofficially, the full communion which we now enjoy is truly a gift of the unity we share in one faith, one hope, one baptism. And I'd like to begin by sharing a story with you, which I recall hearing many years ago. It seems that there was once a great actor who was asked at a country gathering to recite the 23rd Psalm. And so with great drama and flair, he mounted the stage and artfully articulated the vivid imagery of this familiar poem. The people were entertained, but not moved. And later, in the same program, an old woman was asked to make some kind of contribution to the evening. She apologized, explaining that she could think of nothing else to do but recite the 23rd Psalm, the portion of scripture she knew best. And her voice cracked as she started, "The Lord is my shepherd." And she stumbled over many of the words, and the people had to strain to hear her low, uncultured voice. And yet, when she finished, there were few dry eyes in the audience. The great actor climbed up onto the stage, hugged the woman, and expressed his conviction about what had made the difference. "I know the psalm," he said, "but she knows the shepherd. I know the psalm, but she knows the shepherd." Our readings today are all about knowing the shepherd and the shepherd knowing us. And knowing here has more to do with the heart than with the head. In our 21st century world of agribusiness, with electronic fences and computerized chips keeping track of the cattle and the sheep, this scriptural image of the shepherd is a bit of a dusty antique of the past. The countryside around Jerusalem, where the writer would have sung this psalm and where Jesus would have painted his word picture, was dry, dangerous, and dreary. The rocky soil was a haven for hungry wolves and a trap for unsteady sheep. And steep cliffs fell suddenly to the Dead Sea below. And so good shepherds with their staffs of comfort and rods of rescue had to be vigilant, courageous, tender, and tough. And of greatest importance in all the confusion and danger of those rough plains, They had to intentionally work at knowing their sheep and making sure their sheep knew them. And it was their voice that built the relationship. It was their voice that shaped and nurtured and protected the flock. It was their voice that drew the lost, the scared, and the wounded back home. One of the symptoms of that devastating form of mental illness known as schizophrenia that breaks and confuses the human spirit is hearing voices, loud, demanding, seductive voices that pull apart the sanity of a centered soul. And I believe in many ways that we live in a schizophrenic culture. We are bombarded with voices demanding, analyzing, projecting, pleading, persuading, and seeking to control our hearts and our minds. We are a noisy, verbose culture, cluttering the airwaves and the printed page with images and accusations of one sort or another. And in the midst of all this noise, the question for us today as Christians is which and where is the voice of God? In the midst of all this noise, how do we recognize the particular tone and timbre of the shepherd, calling us to the purposeful safety of spiritual wholeness? How do we sift through the voices in our heads and our hearts, listening to the one voice that matters, so that we can become centered in wholeness, so that we can defend ourselves from the splintering tongues of cultural and personal demons? And if we look at the 23rd Psalm with fresh eyes and attentive ears, we may hear some subtleties of meaning. The verbs alone help us to understand how God works and what God says in our lives. The presence, the voice of the shepherd leads, comforts, restores, anoints, prepares, and sometimes, when we are unruly and stubborn, makes us rest. These are all images of nurturing, empowering, encouraging, giving to us the freedom and responsibility to grow and stretch and move toward wholeness. And actually, when you think about it, isn't that a good definition of what mothers do too? And fathers, for that matter. Something worth thinking about on this Mother's Day. In other words, the shepherd does not drag us or deplete us or bombard us or accuse us or violate us in order to get his way or force us into his image. Instead, the shepherd's voice invites and waits and walks by our side. In the life of a diverse and growing flock, there are three places where the voice is the strongest. The first place is beside still waters, where the sheep are made to lie down in green pastures. It's interesting that this is the first and not the last place that we hear the shepherd's voice. Rest and restoration of the soul is not the last place the shepherd leads us, but the place where our growth and our creativity begin. And as the writer of Revelation makes clear, these still waters are also living waters, the place where God's Spirit can fill us and sustain us for the journey of life ahead. And yet, how often do we respond to the pushing, demanding, driving, judging voices in our lives first, failing to hear or listen for God's still voice, inviting us to rest and restoration, to solitude and centering? There is a story that takes place during the early days of the church about Christian monks who lived in Egypt and Palestine during the second and third centuries. And a wise elder monk requested that his novice, his student, bring a bowl of water from a desert pool. When the younger monk returned, they sat and watched the murky liquid become clear as the sediment settled at the bottom. The elder monk said, "Your own life has been like that murky water. But if you enter the silence with God, your heart will become clean like this water, and you will be able to reflect God, who can only be seen and known by the pure in heart." The voice of God is that voice amidst all the hectic noise which urges us, leads us, and sometimes makes us lie down to rest in green pastures beside still waters. But that is never where we stay, is it? Because the voice of the shepherd also leads us to right paths, to paths of righteousness, as Scripture puts it, to paths that take us home. Some of you may remember a man by the name of Edvard Shevardnadze, the former Soviet bureaucrat who emerged as a compassionate and tireless shepherd of the struggling Russian Republic of Georgia. In a radio interview several years ago, Shevardnadze talked about the strong convictions he once held as a communist. In the past, he had a rigid certainty that the ideological principles of Marx and Stalin were appropriate for the peoples of Northern Europe. But when he became the head of the Communist Party in the Republic of Georgia at the height of the Soviet Empire, he learned the hard way how communism often doesn't work. The corruption, the rigidity, the heartless vision of undemocratic socialism did not touch the needs or unleash the creativity or celebrate the spirit of the Georgian people. And so he became instrumental in resisting and ultimately destroying the Soviet Empire. And later, he felt called to go back to Georgia and lead it on the path toward freedom and democracy. He found his work as the shepherd of a fragile flock difficult and dangerous and discouraging. But he never gave up, because he himself had heard the voice of the great shepherd leading him and restoring him and anointing him with purpose. At the age of 67, Shevardnadze was baptized, literally throwing off the old and robing himself in the new, immersing himself in the living waters of Christian faith, attuning his ear to the only voice that could lead him and his people on paths of righteousness toward freedom, toward home. We know that we are hearing the voice of God when we find ourselves resting by still waters, when we feel ourselves moving on paths of righteousness. But there is one more place where we hear the shepherd's voice, the place we need that voice the most, and that is in the valley of the shadow, the valley of evil, the valley where hurt and despair and death threaten to overcome us. We can be sure that God is with us in the valley, that the voice will always be able to sustain us and rescue us and heal us, because God has been there. The shepherd has been the lamb, remember, slain and maimed by the violent and unpredictable forces of evil and pain. This experience as the lamb so changed and shaped God that, as a good shepherd, God will never, ever again forsake the sheep. God knows. God understands. God feels the terror of the valley. And we can be absolutely convinced that God will never leave us there. God will come back into that valley, finding us and calling us and carrying us home. Remember this: amidst all the voices, there is a voice making us to lie down by still waters, leading us with vision on paths of righteousness, walking with us in the darkest valleys of our living. We must listen, and we must learn, and we must follow. That is our hope, and that is our calling. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.